Good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, December 2nd, 2007. It is now 8:01 Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while I'm the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com, and that is comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/libertytalkradio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, if you listen to what is being said on television, you are being misled. I can guarantee you that. In fact, let me say this. In 3 months, let me eat those words. Let's someone write it down. One of my listeners write it down. And 3 months from now, you call in and you say, well, you said things weren't going to get worse, and they didn't. They got better. Sorry, you were wrong. But things are going to get worse, folks. We really don't know the extent of all of this credit crunch and all this funny money business that's been going on. Andy Sutton does an excellent job of illuminating the real problems involved. Please do so. He also has a commentary on blogtalkradio.com/my2cents. I encourage you to go there. Good evening, everyone. this evening's subject is freedom versus fascism. And actually, it should be freedom to fascism, or from freedom to fascism. I had an opportunity to watch Aaron Russo's last film before he passed away, From Freedom to Fascism. And I've had people critique it and say there's some demagoguery in there. There is, it's somewhat lopsided, one-sided. It's slanted. It's extreme in some ways. I'm not certain. I think that is all true. Let me put it this way. I think that's all true. There is some demagoguery in it and whatever. And of course, they do take an extreme position. However, it's all true. It may exaggerate the condition as it exists as of this moment, but it is all true, and it is what we need to be aware of. And that is our march from a true free society to one in which the government controls our every action. Now, if you question that at all, you have to ask yourself, why is it that anything that I want to do in the free United States, in this very liberated country, anything that I want to do, I need to be licensed, certified, get permission, or get an exemption for, or file some sort of tax code information before I do it. We are no longer a free society. We are one in which the screws are being turned very slowly against us. They're pressuring us slowly but surely. Eventually, if we don't let loose, if we do not start pushing back, it will crush us, ladies and gentlemen. We will be crushed, and we won't know what hit us. We are like the proverbial frogs in the warm water. Eventually, the water will be so hot, it'll be too late to jump out because we will be dead. No government would come in that smart, that wouldn't come in with soldiers and guns firing and change the government overnight. It would be a very, very slow process. I'm going to make comments about that all this evening. I'm going to do some reading also, because some of what I have read this week is outstanding, and for me to paraphrase would not do it justice. And those people who, in fact, wrote these articles do deserve to get credit. I'd like to give some airtime to the Information Clearinghouse newsletter. And I encourage my readers to go online to the Information Clearinghouse, Google that, Information Clearinghouse, and they come up with a daily newsletter, and they summarize many of the main aspects of what is going on around the world. I do encourage you not only to go to their website, but do contribute a little bit. I mean, if everyone gave a little bit, they would be able to continue the fine work that they're doing. Now, the information that I have here is from the Information Clearinghouse. The first one is November 24th. I'm going to read a few of them because they're just excellent. It says, "We are reluctant to admit that we owe our liberties to men of a type that today we hate and fear." Listen to that. It's very important. "We are reluctant to admit that we owe our liberties to men of a type that today we hate and fear. Unruly men, disturbers of the peace, men who resent and denounce what Whitman called the insolence of elected persons. In a word, free men." That was Gerald W. Johnson, 1890-1980. The source was the American Freedom and the Press, 1958. There is so much to be said for that one statement. Again, that's from the Information Clearinghouse, and they paraphrase these. They just do a beautiful job. Today, if someone is disrespectful to the government, they are antagonists, they are unpatriotic, they could be considered illegal disobedience, as the government would call it. They could even be jailed for it. But without that, we wouldn't have our country. If we were not truly patriotic, if we were not unruly, if we did not, in fact, disturb the peace, if we did not resent and denounce, America would still be a British colony. We are patriots. And patriots mean that we are individuals fighting for one thing and one thing only, and that is our freedom. The world is made of patriots. I don't care if you live in Bangladesh, India, Russia, the Ukraine, Saudi Arabia, any country in Western or Eastern Europe, Africa, South America, Australia. It makes no difference. Japan, Korea, Canada, Central America, Mexico. Everyone in their heart is a patriot. And if you don't believe me, Listen to the news. Listen to BBC. And they'll give you an idea of what's going on around the world. What do you hear? You hear people uprising. And against whom? Against their governments. In almost every country, whether it be France, Germany, the Middle East, Iran, Persia, anywhere in the country. But you know where you find a lot of harmony today? You find it in Russia. And let me skip around for a second. And this all goes back to freedom versus fascism. Hold on. I need to get an article. That I want to read here. Vladimir Putin, the world's most popular leader. This is also derived from the Information Clearinghouse. It's an article by Mike Whitney. And it's interesting the way Putin has an approval rating of 85%. And that is because he had rejected the money changers around the world. The people who control currencies, he's rejected. And he had focused internally to make Russia better for the Russian people, not for the money changers. He rejected an invitation to join the big club, the club folks that you and I have not been invited to join. A club that is so elite, even the ones that people we consider elite would not be asked to join. The people who don't control our armies, not those who control our cities, not those who control our government, but those who have control of our currency. He has rejected all of these people. And now we find ourselves, Russia, emerging more harmonious today than it ever has been. Its currency is getting stronger. Its reserves of gold is up to $450 billion plus cash reserves. It has a net export of oil now. It is improving its infrastructure. Its currency is getting stronger. Now, they are no match for the United States economically, and I'm not suggesting that. But they are going in the direction, the opposite direction that we are going into. And what do we do? Our government does nothing but vilify them because we are afraid of where they are going. So what we do is we tell people how terrible things are over there. We tell people that there are atrocities occurring over there, and Putin is stripping everyone of their liberties. In other words, we're starting to demonize Putin, and we're alienating him. And quite frankly, he doesn't care. You see, folks, he really doesn't care because he is for Russia and the Russian people. And I think that's an interesting reversal of roles. 18 years ago, we saw the fall of the Soviet Union, and we saw the U.S. emerge as the only superpower, the country in the world. And now what do we say? We see the downfall of America, the downfall of an empire, and we see the emergence of a Russian state. I think that's interesting. We are taking the path to fascism. And fascism takes on a terminology that is different things to different people. There really is no terminology. We say fascism, we think of Mussolini. It can mean any time. Fascism is a general term used for the state control over the people. Very simply put, No, we don't have to be like Italy was during World War, prior to World War II. I think that's an interesting highlight of where Putin is. And look at our president, how popular he is. He's looking to get 15%. I guess if you added Putin's approval rating plus George Bush's, you'd get 100%. Here's another saying from the Information Clearinghouse. This is James Russell Lowell, 1819 to 1891 poet and author. And the source is from A Fable for Critics in 1848. It says, "And I honor the man who is willing to sink half of his present repute for the freedom to think. And when he has thought, be his cause strong or weak, will risk the other half for the freedom to speak." Boy, we don't have that at all. When people risk their security or whatever they have, the other half of themselves, to speak freely. Now, are we a free people? No, we're not. Do you know when an official is giving a speech, or Cheney or President Bush is giving a speech, there are free speech zones. In other words, people have to be invited, and they are cleared before they can get anywhere near the area where the person is speaking, where the official is speaking. Now, if they suspect that you may not be in agreement with what the president or the vice president or the official is saying, you go about three blocks away in some sort of hideaway place, all marked off, where you can stand and you can shout and protest all you want. All right, here we go. Here's a third one. This is Simon Heffer, and this is from the Daily Mail of June 2000. This is, in theory, still a free country, but our politically correct, censorious times are such that many of us tremble to give vent to perfectly acceptable views for fear of condemnation. And folks, don't kid yourself. If you think that I was not afraid of what I am saying to you tonight, and if you don't think I am not concerned, you're wrong. I am. I carry this burden with me because I no longer feel that we are a free country. I feel that I could in fact disappear someday just because I'm an irreverent citizen, if you will. It goes on to say, freedom of speech is thereby imperiled. Big questions go unabated, and great lies become accepted unequivocally, you know, I cannot say that word, geez, as great truths. You know, it's interesting that people are more afraid today to speak up. Now, they will speak up if they're amongst people who they know are of the same ilk that they are and they agree with, but they are reluctant to speak up any other time. My wife brings up a good point. She says, you know, we've lost our ability to converse. And one of the reasons for that is because of our fear of conversing. And not only that it's socially unacceptable, but it's laced with just a proper amount of fear. And the government knows that. They're good at that. Here's another one by Justice Hugo L. Black, 1886 to 1971. U.S. Supreme Court Justice, New York Times Company versus Sullivan in 1964. An unconditional right to say what one pleases about public affairs is what I consider to be the minimum guarantee of the First Amendment. Listen to this. An unconditional right to say what one pleases about public affairs is what I consider to be the minimum guarantee of the First Amendment. Holy smoke. Compare that with today. With the Military Commissions Act, the Patriot Act, the executive order that allows someone who is irreverent towards the government to be picked up and taken away without any charges. Here's one. This is the Information Clearinghouse newsletter of November 30th, and this is Albert Shanker. His years that he lived here was 1928 to 1997, former president of the American Federation of Teachers. And this one I particularly like. By the way, I not only read this, I read dozens and dozens of articles and books and whatever, and I It's arduous putting this stuff together, and sometimes it's disjointed, but I apologize for that. He says, it is time to admit that public education operates like a planned economy. It is a bureaucratic system where everybody's role is spelled out in advance, and there are few incentives for innovation and productivity. It's not a surprise when a school system doesn't improve. It more resembles a communist economy than our own market economy. Touché. And with that, I'd like to mention a speech given by Larry Arne. And Larry Arne is the president of Hillsdale College. He gave a speech, Return to the Constitution. And in that, you know, he talked about the school system. He talked about a lot of things in this speech. It was a very interesting speech to read. And I truly enjoyed reading. I read the entire speech. And here he says, our leaders must remember that education doesn't begin with some isolated bureaucrat in Washington. It doesn't even begin with state or local officials. Education begins in the home, where it's a parental right and responsibility. Both our public and our private schools exist to aid our families in the instruction of our children. And it's time some people back in Washington stop acting as if family wishes were only getting in the way. Forgetting the purpose of education, such a government is likely to forget its own purpose too. That is dangerous both to liberty and to justice. Folks, we need to start thinking about the role of government and who is responsible for our children, who is responsible for us, and who is responsible for this nation. It ain't the government. I'm getting particularly disturbed with the progressive movement. The progressive movement has really infiltrated the Democratic Party. There are loud noises now being made in the Democratic Party in trying to get votes. And they are talking about the minimum wage and how the minimum wage should be at least $9, I think, and 15 cents per hour. And they are asking one another during these debates, well, Obama, would you agree with me? Would you vote for an increase in the minimum wage to $9? Oh, of course I would. Yes, I would make it $9.50 at least, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And no one gives any mind to the fact that the government is not the one paying those wages. It's an employer. And once we tell the employer how much they have to pay their people, the employer has lost control over that business, the economic control of that business. Now, I'm an employer. I know what it's like. We're going through particularly bad times now because we had to buy new equipment to keep up with what was going on. And the new equipment, folks, didn't work. And all of our money went into this new equipment to make us more productive. It made us less productive. We are hurting now from a cash flow point of view. And my concern is not making payroll. We can make payroll, but I wanted to give my employees a really nice bonus for Christmas, and the money just ain't there. And it really has me bothered. And now we have to figure out a way to see if the manufacturer would, either we can get this equipment to work real quickly and we can get it rolling, or we're going to have to find out a way to get it back and get even a partial refund so I can give that money to the employees. I mean, employers are not out there to screw the employees. I mean, you always find ones that are just cheap, and, you know, if they can pay them $1 an hour and treat them like crap, yeah, they would do that. But we're not that stupid, and we're not that mean. I mean, we're just regular people. And we know what it's like, you know, when you have someone representing your company, you want that person to be proud that they're representing that company. But no once a government's going to tell me how much I'm going to pay my people, that's when I finally decide, well, if you want to pay them $9.15 an hour, then you run the company, Mr. Government. You stay up 24 hours a day worrying about how things are going to happen, you know. I quit. You find a way to get the money from the people for taxes and pay them. Don't bother me anymore. And no one is talking the other side of that. No one's saying the government should not be dictating, should not be regulating wages. No one's saying that. They're all afraid, just like I just said. We're just afraid to say that. It sounds mean. And Ron Paul recently has been getting lots of bad press, which means he's really coming up in the polls if he's getting bad press. And they're not saying, well, you know, we disagree with Dr. Paul or Representative Paul. We go, oh, Ron Paul, he's a nut anyway. They're calling him nuts, crazy, a loony, a wacko, a fringe guy. I mean, every nasty name that has no relevance whatsoever to the issues. Okay, here's one more. This is the last one. Henry Steel Comaker. Steel Comaker, I guess. Well, what a name. And this is, from Freedom, Loyalty, and Dissent in 1966. He says, our tradition is one of protest and revolt. And it is stultifying to celebrate the rebels of the past while we silence the rebels of the present. Isn't that beautiful, folks? We celebrate the rebels of the past while we silence the rebels of the present. We do a good job of that, don't we? You know, it reminds me when people talk about religion, I say to them, well, you believe in, and regardless of what religion it is, it makes no difference. I'm not picking on any particular religion whatsoever. I'm picking on all of them. Let me put it this way. And I said, you know, if in fact somebody, if they believe in a certain whatever it is, and it's kind of weird, you know, but and people believe in really weird stuff when it comes to religion, you know, angels flying around and people going to heaven and back again and, you know, all this stuff, you know, people waking up from the dead and dying again and all this stuff, and people being born of virgins and all that. And I said, well, if someone told you that happened today, what would you say? Was a guy's person? Guy's nuts. Isn't that interesting? How someone 2,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, 8,000, whatever, how long ago, whatever religion you're talking about, you know, then, you know, it was logic. I mean, it could have happened. But if that same person said or did, or said that they did the same thing today, no one would listen to him. They say, he's a nutcake. Get out of here. He's a nutcase. Get out of here. This guy's not, he wouldn't get one person. But because this person said they did it 2,000 years ago, they said, well, it could have happened. And I guess it's the same thing here with our rebels. Rebels of the past, oh boy, we relish them. You know, we admire them. You know, but today, what do we get? If we have a rebel today, what do we get? I think we have a call here. I'm not sure. I think we have a call in. I don't know if this is a call. Like some of these things, I don't know how to operate on this computer. One other thing I'd like to mention is that on June 4, 2007, Ted Galen Carpenter gave a speech at the Future of Freedom Foundation conference, and that conference was Restoring the Republic, Foreign Policy, and Civil Liberties. His speech was Bully of the Playground, How Washington Makes Enemies Abroad and Undermines Freedom at Home. And it's just absolutely so true. You can find that under the Future of Freedom Foundation website. It's on the YouTube type thing. And his speech is excellent. And he talks about how America is hated around the world, how just 10 years ago, America would have had a favorable rating, let's say, of 65% in a particular country, and today it's 36% or less. And that's in every country, especially Western Europe, in Germany, not only in France, but Germany, where we always had a very high approval rating, now we have a very low approval rating. In some countries, it's down to 15%. And he says, that's very dangerous. I mean, everyone dislikes the American government. He said, what is particularly disturbing is the fact that people today not only dislike the government. 10 years ago, they say, oh, the American people are fine. It's American foreign policy that we disagree with. Today, they're saying, we not only dislike American foreign policy, but we dislike the American people as well. And the logic behind that is they see us marching from this road from freedom to fascism. And they're saying that if the American people were truly interested in freedom, they would have done something about the people that are in office, and they would have reelected them. Those people, the Dick Cheneys and the Karl Roves and the, you know, all those people who have been running the government and doing such a disastrously poor job, not only internally within the United States, but externally in their foreign policy, has been a bully for around the world. If the American people would truly disagree with their government, they wouldn't have reelected them. So now the world is blaming us as well. And folks, we deserve it. We deserve that in spades. Oh, by the way, we haven't received any calls tonight. The number is 646-652-4620. Please call in if you have any questions or comments. We'd love to hear you on the air. But we have no calls anymore. We have five lines, and they're all empty. Shame on me. Shame on you. 646-652-4620. If you'd like, you can send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'm going to talk about one more subject and then probably get off the air. And this comment has to do a very, very unpopular subject. I'm going to go back to about a week ago, last Sunday, I guess, is when a caller called in, and I received quite a bit of email regarding this subject, and we discussed this on last Thursday morning. And that email, that caller had to do with disagreeing with Ron Paul's attitude towards the use of our military overseas. And his this caller's position was that we should take a very hard military presence, and we should be in the Middle East, and we should find all the terrorists and kill them. And because he felt that 10% of the people were radical Islamics and all those, which meant millions of people, and we should somehow find them all and kill them all. I don't know. I didn't understand his logic too well, but I think it's a very popular notion. But he did mention Israel. And I do want to make myself perfectly clear, as Nixon used to say. I'd like to make myself perfectly clear about Israel. And we keep on picking on Israel, saying, well, we need to have a presence in the Middle East to protect the free state of Israel. Well, I could not agree less. If you look at Palestine prior to 1948, it was a state occupied over 90% by Arabs. By Palestinians, and when I say Arabs, it's a misnomer, because that's a general term. It's like saying Westerners, it doesn't mean anything. But by the people who've been living there for thousands of years, and primarily they were, of different Arab tribes, if you will, or sects. And there are segments of Palestine, and many of them, which were like 99% Palestinian. Now, some Israelis did move in, Jewish people did move in, but their numbers were very small. When the British left, they gave basically the state of Palestine to the Jews, and they called it Israel. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never understood that. I've read articles and books about it, and it, and the British were duped. That was one of the biggest foreign policy blunders that the British Empire ever made, even bigger than India. Because this thing is going to play out forever. And there's no reason. Now, if in fact that they can support themselves there and live harmonious with them and make some sort of deal with the Palestinians and say, well, we're here now, let's see what we can do about it. All right, if they can do that, fine. But for us to pump in $3+ billion a year to Israel to support what we call, and you know, and we do this all the time, we call the Saudis our friends when they are a repressive regime, a lot more repressive than most other regimes that we consider to be dictatorships, authoritarian dictatorships. And we say, well, you know, we got to nuke them because look how bad these people are. They're not democratic people. Well, the Saudis are not. The Saudis are, the House of Saud is a very autocratic, closed society, which eliminates 99% of all of its population, and the population suffers because of it, and yet we support them. And we call them our friends. They're okay. We never say anything about that dictatorship. We never call it a dictatorship. And then at the same time, we call Israel a democracy. Well, Israel is not a democracy. Israel is a theocratic military state. Now, would in fact the Americans, the American public, agree with giving $3 billion+ a year and then some to Israel, and plus all of the time and effort, the billions and billions and hundreds of billions that we spend defending our position with Israel, you know, if we called Israel what it was, a theocratic military dictatorship, a theocratic military democracy. Let's call it what it is. I mean, people vote there, but if you're a Christian, you can't run for office. It's not a free state. If you're a Muslim, you can't run for office. You have to be Jewish and a certain type of Jew, or you'll never make it in office. It's like in the United States, if you are not, you know, if you're not a Protestant, you can't, Protestant Christian, you can't get into office. I mean, it's the same thing. Now, in our case, you know, we've had people who were not Protestants and Catholics and whatever, and some deists, and sometimes we've had people who were actually atheists who wouldn't admit it, but they got into office. But they would never admit it because they would never get in as an atheist or an agnostic or as a deist. But we're supporting a military theocracy with the illusion of a democracy. And in fact, if Israel could not support itself without our money, and they would have to dissolve, then the Jews will have to live there without. Why can't the Jews live there without military support? If they can't live there without military support, they probably shouldn't be living there. The Jews can live anywhere in the world. It's not that the Jews can't live in France or Spain or Germany or Czechoslovakia or the United States or Canada or Mexico. They can live anywhere in the world. Why do they need their own state? It's like, you know, I'm a particular nationality and religion. I should have my own state. Well, it's silly. No one would stand for that. No one would listen to the call for that. But yet, we will jeopardize our entire country. We will jeopardize our own democracy, our own republic, to support that very notion. As far as I'm concerned, the state of Israel should be dissolved if it cannot stand on its own 2 feet. We shouldn't give 1 cent to Israel. We should trade with the Palestinian people. We should trade with Israel. We should treat them equally. And once we did, if we give $3 billion to Israel, let's give $3 billion to Palestinians. No, I don't want to give $3 billion to either one. But if we're going to do to one, let's do to the other. Now, how could we give $3 billion to the Israelis and then ask the Palestinians and the Israelis to sit down and speak with us as moderators? That makes absolutely no sense. Am I going nuts, folks? Is there something wrong with me that I just don't understand this stuff? So when people pull the Hitler card saying, well, you know, we should have done this, or if we don't bomb these people, look what happened if we didn't go to Hitler. That doesn't hold water. And then they always say, well, you know, we have to support Israel. No, that doesn't hold water either. In fact, 99% of what we say doesn't hold any water. It's not, they're not valid arguments. And they all cut the roots of our democracy. and they're going to starve us of the nutrition, the nutrition that we need from the people here. We are the nutrition, and we're shutting the people off. We're starving our own democracy. Boy, I wish I had a call in. I'd love to hear someone's voice on this one. 646-652-4620. We only got 4 minutes remaining. But understand that in this book, by another book I want to recommend to you, which hopefully we'll finish this week. I've been saying this is The End of America, Letters of Warning to a Young Patriot by Naomi Wolf. Fabulous book. Absolutely fabulous book. Very well written. If you're in a good mood, when you start reading this book, you'll be in a bad mood. Very bad mood. And she brings out the point that just like night follows day, and it doesn't get light and then dark immediately, it's a very slow process. Is this march towards fascism, towards government control over everything, is a very slow process. You know, it's like dusk, dawn, and whatever. It just gets darker, darker, and darker. And don't wait for the lights to go out, because we're marching in that direction, and we all need to fight. You know, towards the end of my program, I mentioned we are either striving to protect our freedoms, or we are allowing them to be taken away. When I say striving, that means we have to be active. We have to be patriots. We have to be doing something. We cannot be passive. We cannot watch the world go by. Me, what do? I belong to organizations. I support organizations. I have this radio program. I do take some risks. We all need to do something. If everyone did something, we can reverse this trend. All right? Next Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. is our next live broadcast, 6:30 to 7. That's this Thursday, December 6th at 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time in the United States. Please send your comments to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I want to hear from you. Next Thursday's broadcast, I'm not certain what the main subject will be. I may decide on the main subject depending on the email that I receive. I want to also take a second out to thank everyone out there who is listening. I know I don't have the millions of listeners that the popular talk show host does, and I know that I'm not in the same league as those guys. I do hope that I am at least adding value. I hope that I am transmitting this around the world, and it is having some positive effect that is worth the time and effort that I put into this. I enjoy doing it in a way I find it very arduous. And every time I feel to think to myself, boy, why am I killing myself for? I'm not going to do this anymore. I get a bunch of emails, and it just literally makes me cry. So to my listeners, I say thank you so much. I would appreciate email, some feedback, and it doesn't have to be all complimentary. You know, if you want to disagree, that's fine. Let's talk about it. Let's open the debate. Okay? All righty. Well, that is this is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or our phone is, or you can phone in your questions, actually, to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your freedoms to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, that'll be Thursday, 6:30 a.m. on December 6th. Stay well. Stay tuned.